covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
All right, a little stressful there. A little too close for comfort. Tight shave, could feel it pulling. It's okay. 8-5. Brewers get the victory today. They have leveled the series at a game apiece. Go for the series tomorrow with the Miz on the mound. Welcome into Brewers Extra Innings. I'm Dominic Catronio. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. One more time. 855-616-1620. Or over on the YouTube live chat as well. We will be hanging out in there as well. Brewers get massive contributions from the kids. The 21-year-old, 6 RBIs. It is the most RBIs in a game by any player, let alone two players, 21 or younger in a game in Brewers franchise history. 6 ribbies from players 21 or under. That is a new team record, and let's hope it's not the last time they match that record as Cooper turns 22 in a month's time. And Craig Kishon is our co-host here tonight. And, you know, Craig, I think there is something exciting about the fact that, of course, the bottom of the order bounces back today after they struggled yesterday. But the other fact is these are two 21-year-old kids who have already been signed to extensions and two guys that the Brewers feel are very much part of their futures, and they're already fitting right in here at the major league level.
Well, Dom, both of them look like they belong. I mean, they look like they belong, obviously, on the field and in the batter's box. I mean, these guys are just major league players, and that's got to be a big reason why they got those contracts before they even made their debut. So they've been fun to watch. The energy they bring, the talent they bring. And you just got to wonder, like you're saying, that the bottom part of the order comes through here. You got to wonder, at what point do these two move up? Maybe not this year, but when are they going to start moving up and being a big part of what happens at the top of the order? So it'd be fun to watch them progress, and you couldn't ask for a better start, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it for the Brewers, even with Churio being in this funk he's been in, Bowers really had a great game today. He snapped out of it. Terang, 2 more hits. One of them was a bunt. One of them was a double. He had a good day at the plate, too. But I'm saying the carriers, even Mitchell has cooled off here in this series against the Rockies. But the point being is I look at this lineup, and what makes me excited is balance, right? I know the Brewers probably need and wish for somebody to step up as a true quote-unquote aircraft carrier, but if you're not going to have that guy, if you're not going to have, to use an example, to have a Yordan Alvarez in this lineup, the Brewers do not currently have a hitter like that that strikes fear into everybody into the other side. I'm not saying they don't have good hitters, but what I'm saying, Craig, is if you're bottom half of the order with these rookies who you figure and you hope and you pray that this is the worst they're going to be. Like, I mean, Cooper Pratt's hitting .281 in his first month in the show. That's not insignificant. Luis Lara has been up for about 2 weeks, and he looks right at home. I mean, it's only 36 plate appearances. He has more walks than strikeouts as a 21-year-old in the big leagues, and he's hitting 7th in your order. I'm looking at a lineup that is no easy outs. Everybody has something that you have to be aware of.
Well, that's true, and, you know, in Lara and Pratt's case tonight, I mean, they don't start every game. And David Hamilton doesn't start every game at third base. So you've got that bottom, you know, your 7, 8, 9 hitters really for the most part right here, where, you know, they're playing with interchangeable guys depending upon who's pitching, you know, what the situation is. And so you're asking, you know, 5 or 6 guys to do the job over there. And to add these two in the mix and not put all the everyday pressure on them. I mean, they didn't bring Cooper Pratt up to say, Joey Ortiz can't hit. You're going to be at shortstop every day. And, you know, Joey better hit over at third base. That's not what this franchise does. And so that makes it great for the development for these guys to be able to not just ease their way in, but they know that they have a role, and they want to play every day, you can tell, but they certainly want to produce when they do have the opportunities to get in there.
And for the Brewers, these are guys that, you know, in AAA, they're hitting 1, 2, 3, 4 in that order. They're playing every day. Lara's playing center field in AAA. In the big leagues, he's playing right. Cooper's really only playing short, of course, here at the big league level. But I just wanted to pull up the fact that since Cooper Pratt's debut on June 16th, I want to point out some of the key hitters on this club. Now, Cooper, of course, he's got a 753 OPS, hitting his second homer of his young career today, and he continues to really heat up as he learns to make the adjustments at the big league level. Joey Ortiz, over this time, is hitting 281 himself. He's got an 800 OPS over this time since Cooper Pratt had his debut. Bryce Terang is right there, 4 points back, with a better OPS than both of them, with 17 extra base hits. Again, I think that you look at your core of what you've got. Are those guys going to hit you 30 bombs a year? No, they're not. But are those guys, wherever they are in the order, going to give you A, a quality at bat, and B, have the ability to spray it to all fields, and C, play gold glove caliber defense to keep them in the lineup on an everyday basis? I mean, Joey will be in there tomorrow against the lefty. I think that the way the Brewers are built right now with Cooper Pratt's arrival, we might look at that as a, you know, sort of a goalpost or sort of a checkpoint of the season to say, you know, pre-Cooper Pratt and post-Cooper Pratt, because really everyone has been playing very, very well since he arrived.
Yeah, and that obviously happens to really good teams. They have a point where they reach and they're like, how can we become better? You're hearing that a lot, in fact, from players and from Pat Murphy as well the last couple of weeks, maybe just before the All-Star break, certainly right after. This club record-wise is second best. And you can just tell without them saying it, they want to be the best team in baseball because they think they're that talented. So they're saying out loud, we haven't played our best baseball yet. We think that we can become a better team. And with these guys added in the mix and gaining confidence along the way, that's the big thing. They need to learn by failing, and the failing points, though, aren't happening very often, which just goes to show how talented that they are and how the club thinks they're ready to be here. So they're on their way. There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of fans can't wait for, you know, the month of August to turn and let's see what happens here.
Yeah, there was a scoring change. So Cooper went 3-for-3 today with the home run. Lara went 2-for-2 with a sacrifice fly and a double. He even drew a walk in today's game, too. I look at this lineup and I look at what the Brewers are able to do in a day like today where they coasted today, right? They certainly coasted, going 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. They got out to an early lead. Colorado tied it up in the fourth. Brewers responded immediately right back, and then the big four-run sixth inning. Without a home run, mind you, once again, the Brewers, until, you know, Cooper hit the homer in the second inning, but you know, in that sixth inning, the Brewers scored four runs without the benefit of a homer. They have the most such of those innings in baseball. They have multiple ways to beat you, which makes them so dynamic. Brewers get the victory today. 8-5, got a little hairy at the end there. We'll talk about Lance McCullers later on in the show. But also, the Brewers have something cooking. Robert Gasser. It seems a little bit of both. We'll talk about Robert's quality start and what it means for this pitching staff, and an update on Kyle Harrison on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 8-5, back to 26 games above 500. They could set another new high water mark tomorrow with a series win. 27 will be the new high, and at 66 wins, that would be a nice number to be at. Brewers in first place, they remain six games up on the Chicago Cubs. They did gain a game on the Atlanta Braves in the race for the two seeds. The Brewers are now four games clear of Atlanta, who lost to Baltimore 3-2 on a walk-off Dylan Beavers base hit. The Dodgers victorious over the Mets today 4-3, so the Brewers remain a game back for the, or two games back for the best record in baseball. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. You know, I look at Robert Gasser today as somebody who did his job. And the number one thing that he did his job in his line, as I read it to you, six innings, five hits, two runs that were both earned. No walks is what I'm underlining, with four strikeouts for Gasser. He threw 77 pitches, 51 of them were strikes. Probably could have gone longer. The Brewers opened things up in the sixth inning. They were trying to save the leverage bullpen and trying to get Chad Patrick and Lance McCullers Jr. some work today. We'll talk about that, I promise. But for Gasser to deliver six walk-free quality innings today is a great step in the right direction for him. No matter what lineup or what the record says on the other side, he won a Major League Baseball game today.
Yeah, he did a great job, I thought. I really think this is one of the better games that we've seen him pitch. And he was so efficient, too, just the 77 pitches. And if you're doing that in six innings against a Colorado offense that, you know, is excelling this year, you're more than doing your job. So I thought he took another step forward. The last two starts he's had since the post All-Star break have been really good, really solid. I thought he had good movement on all his pitches, good command here in this game. And, you know, he even mentioned it in an interview that we aired on the TV post game, Dom, just being aware as the game progressed, how aggressive Rocky hitters were going to be on his first pitches and the adjustments that he was ready to make. So he's, you know, he's on it. He's on it. And it's this is part of the growth that, you know, we've talked about what these pitchers are going through here right now. And I think we've seen that after, you know, he got hammered against the Pirates, seven earned runs, and has been able to bounce back his last two starts really, really nicely.
And I asked Pat Murphy about it earlier today in his session. You know, the Brewers are trying to figure out, regardless of what happens at the trade deadline, will they, won't they, whatever. Like, let's just, for the sake of this segment, let's just assume they don't add a starting pitcher, right? So they have to figure out, assuming Harrison, who's due back soon, more on him in a moment. You got Miz, you got Harrison, who's number three, right? You've got this audition with Woodruff down that, is it Drouin, is it Henderson, or is it Gasser, right? Gasser's got the most experience. He pitched in the postseason last year, but not in a starting role. Henderson's probably got the most swing and miss stuff, but is he durable enough to handle postseason stress? And Drouin is probably the most polished of the three, just without the most experience of the three, given he's a 27-year-old rookie. And today, Pat Murphy said, I need these guys to pitch freely. I need them to throw strikes. We need to see what they're capable of. And we know and we believe that they're going to be capable, even as young as this rotation is. We knew we were going to get to this point where we had to find out what we had. And, you know, to kind of compare it to the Wild, it's like you got to throw the calf into the pool and say, all right, you're going to learn to swim right now. You got to figure it out. Who's going to keep swimming? And Robert Gasser, after having the real clunker in Pittsburgh, like you said, don't forget, right before that, he worked into the eighth inning in a doubleheader game in St. Louis. That was a little, okay, there's something important there. I think for Gasser, we saw a little mechanical adjustment from him. We'll hear from him later, too. I just think this is a dude that's starting to realize, A, I'm healthy. We know 2 years post-Tommy John. And B, my stuff is having guys off balance. He didn't give up any hard contact today, Craig. I thought, I was just sitting here going, he's mixing, he's cutting, he's sinking, he's sweeping. That's what a crafty lefty's supposed to look like.
Yeah, that fourth inning was like, come on, when is this weak hit parade going to end here? And thankfully, it only ended in the two runs. So kudos to him for readjusting, because the first three guys reach on weakly hit base hits and drive in a couple of runs. And then, you know, he goes 1-2-3 after that to record those final three outs of that inning. So great job by him. And I think the point, too, on this with these three or four guys right now that are on this roster, these pitchers, if they don't get out and acquire, you know, a veteran to come in here, it's not just, hey, this is a test for you. This is, hey, do you want to do this? And we know you're here because we want you to do this, and you're capable of doing this, so let's go out and get her done. I mean, they still have a long ways to go before the end of the season, before they have to, you know, finalize who their top three starting pitchers are going to be for the postseason. So it's a great time to see who steps forward. And maybe it's all three of them step forward somehow. And wouldn't that be great to have the predicament to be in where you're like, who is going to be my third pitcher because they're all so good for this postseason run? Who fits in, you know, to the bullpen if they want to, you know, piggyback, whatever they want to do. If these guys stay healthy and keep progressing the way they are, I think they might be headed to a point where it's like, hey, you're all doing great. This is huge progress here. We're going to choose the best of the group instead of hoping just one steps forward.
And one key on all of this, too, when we're getting ahead of ourselves talking about October, you know, the bullpen currently only has one lefty in it. And when DL Hall returns, that'll be two with Ashby and Hall. You know, having Gasser and Drouin available in that bullpen could be important on a matchup basis, depending on who the Brewers are playing in October. That's something to keep in mind, where maybe they want to have a multitude of lefties to not just be relying on Hall and Ashby in that bullpen. And because obviously bullpens get a little bigger in the postseason, because you only need to carry three starters in a DS, so you're able to carry 10 relievers. That's how all that works. I just really like what I saw from Robert Gasser today. Mixed it well. Average exit velocity against him today, Craig, was 80 miles an hour. It was a very, very good day, like a crafty lefty is supposed to work. He's hot. We'll talk about somebody who's cold and Lance McCullers in the next segment. But Who's Hot, Who's Cold is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. After a day at the lake, the golf course, or the ballpark, come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. You can keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com, to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. Oh, one quick update on the health front, Craig, and I know we're all excited about this. Kyle Harrison, he threw a successful four-up live bullpen, 60 pitches out there today earlier before everybody got to the ballpark. He gave two thumbs up, said everything felt great. We'll see how I bounce back. The Brewers expect probably just one rehab start for him next week, and then maybe he returns maybe against the Twins the following week when they come back home. Whatever it may be, Kyle Harrison's return is imminent from this elbow soreness he had.
Yeah, and if he can get back and actually return to the form that he was pitching in before things got a little tired on him, that's really, really special stuff. There's no question about that. This guy's got the goods, and hopefully, you know, this rest will do him good, and he can return, you know, to the Kyle Harrison that you want to finish up the season the way he started it, for sure.
Yeah, I think Kyle being healthy, being himself, and getting this little reset button, and kudos to the Brewers' young guns to be able to withstand this for the most part. I think the Brewers understand, like, all right, they're giving Miz a little reset. He gets the ball tomorrow. They've given Kyle the little reset. Hopefully he comes back. And you're looking at it now, Craig. I mean, you've got probably 11 more starts at the most for most of these guys. I mean, you are two-thirds of the way through a full season's of work, where you are kind of up against it now. You're out of time to make adjustments. You are what you are. It's harder to adjust your numbers at this point, and I think the Brewers understand, like, the depth that they had stockpiled in the offseason has now been tested, survived, and they can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, and this is the time of year that they're relying on to give these guys a break if they need it. If they see something and it's not, you know, like with the Miz, when they when he didn't pitch the final game before the All-Star break and was a few games into post All-Star break and only went the four innings the other day, they're playing it smart. They're not playing it because, uh-oh, this guy is injured, you got to pitch through it, whatever it is. Things have really changed over the last several years on what the approach is at this point of the season, when you see these guys struggling a little bit in some respect physically. It's to take the step back and let them rest up, let them reset, and then put them in a spot to succeed. Not a spot that, hey, we need you, do you have anything? And if you don't, go out there anyway. I mean, those days to me are gone. And this depth of this pitching staff, top to bottom, you know, bullpen starters, everything is exactly what they've been building over time here. This could be quite a run coming up here, Dom.
They've got pitching, and maybe they'll add reinforcements to it. I don't know. We'll find out here in about 9 days' time. A couple of texts from the 414. I think it was a good idea for Gasser to go six on just 77 pitches. This pitching staff is young and still in the dog days of the season. From Nick, hey, Dom, six RBIs for Lara and Pratt. Love the sippy cup that Garrett Mitchell poured over Pratt's head during the postgame interview. 'Twas the night before the Miz. Good call there. So how things look, setting things up for Miz, What are the roles in the bullpen right now as you get ready to go onto the road after this 9-game homestand has gone pretty well? The Brewers are currently 6-2 on this homestand. They've won the season series against the Rockies, now trying to make sure they win all three series at home. We talk about tomorrow's game next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the victory 8-5. It got a little dicey at the end. We'll touch on that here as the Brewers handed the ball to Lance McCullers. The Brewers were up 7-2 heading to the top of the eighth inning. He walked a couple guys in the eighth. And all right, he got out of it. 25 pitches. They had Ashby getting warm. All right, he got through it. The vet got three. Cleared Hunter Goodman. Now he's facing 5-6-7 for the ninth. The Brewers even gave him another insurance run in the bottom of the eighth inning. So it's 8-2 heading to the ninth inning. And Craig, I know Lance would say this if he was sitting here right now. He's got to be better. And he knows that. He's a veteran in this league. It's one of those things you're trying to impress with a new team. He did so well in his first one. This one was a little bit of being a little too fine. Pitch selection still feeling things out with William. But I think that, you know, to have the Rockies down to their final strike, and also did again, they help from his defense, Jake Bowers with a poor throw to second base. But to have Ezekiel Tovar down 0-2 and walking him, I think that's kind of what's going to eat McCullers the most tonight, not even allowing the run or even McGill allowing the inherited runner to score. But to be down to the final strike with no damage being done at that point, and then to throw four straight balls to Ezekiel Tovar. And I'm trying to tread lightly here, Craig, but I think you get what I'm trying to say. If you go look up Ezekiel Tovar slash line, there's really no reason for Lance McCullers Jr. to be getting cute with a man aboard or two men aboard against Ezekiel Tovar. But nonetheless, he'll wear it. And I think that the reaction to McCullers having that tough one today is, look, the Brewers need a warm body in that bullpen right now. You've got Kunal hurt. You've got Zastrzyzny hurt. You've got Koenig hurt. You've got some of those B options currently down. And today, we found out he's really a B option. There's still some work to do for Lance. They need him. They need somebody to eat some innings down there. They just wish he could have done both of the innings cleanly.
Look, this guy, it's funny, Dom, because we were talking about, you know, the young pitchers and everything that they're trying to learn, you know, at this point and go through the, you know, failures and still learn something and stay confident and all that. It happens to me, if you ask me, it happens to guys like this who have been with one team their whole career. And then at the tail end, when things aren't going real well for that one team that you've been with, your big comfort level, you get traded. And he wasn't upset about the trade. We all understand that. He wanted to come to Milwaukee, and he wants to learn some things. And guess what? Part of this is a learning process still. And he has barely come out of the bullpen. What was this, his eighth or ninth time ever that he's right. Come out of the bullpen and, you know, 160 whatnot appearances. So a lot of this stuff, it's happening because it can. The Brewers are taking a flyer on him right now. They have a nice lead. They have a really talented club, and they had an 8-2 lead when they handed him the ball for the final two innings. So it's either going to work or it's not going to work. And, you know, the test in his first two games so far, we're just obviously he's walking a lot of guys at this point, and his command's still a little bit off. And if that comes back in a positive form, I think he'll be just fine. I think the question is how effectively is he going to be able to serve this role? But I think, look, if he gets his command back, I mean, I really feel like this guy is going to be really helpful for this club.
I think the way that the Brewers understand things right now is McCullers, what's the worst that can happen? And if tonight's the low bar with walking four batters, I hope that doesn't happen again. But the worst that can happen is, all right, it didn't work out. They got another piece in AAA. They got in this trade from the Astros, which was essentially them getting under the competitive balance tax. Now, what's the best that can happen? Hey, he becomes an effective guy that gets some key outs down the stretch, keeps other arms fresh. There is no rule that says, oh, if he pitched on July 25th, he has to be on your postseason roster. The Brewers are fine. They are handling some depth right now. Jacob Mizorowski gets the ball tomorrow, though, on a brighter note, as the Brewers will hand the ball to the tall right-hander. You know, I was looking ahead at his schedule here, Craig. He's not going to have a home start for a little while here. Of course, the Brewers go on the road. So they throw tomorrow, and I imagine he'll probably throw on Saturday in Anaheim, and then he'll either get Thursday or Friday against the Pirates or Twins, and then after that, the Brewers go on another long road trip where maybe he pitches in Atlanta, maybe he or against Atlanta in Williamsport, maybe he pitches on that Saturday, but come get your tickets now, man. There's only so many more home games that the Brewers have. They're on the road a lot of September, so if you've been on the fence, come watch this must-see TV with Jacob Mizorowski with your own eyes.
Yeah, the adjustment on the rotation schedule certainly helped Brewer fans here in this one with him pitching tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how deep he goes and, you know, taking that next step after a little bit of a slowdown and needing a little bit extra rest. So, look, it is must-see TV. What he's done, I mean, this stat is last 13 starts with an 0.87 ERA. I mean, that's remarkable. That's a half a season right there. So That's incredible stuff, man. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow.
The thing I'm most looking forward to, remember, the Phillies, they swung that first pitch a lot. They're trying to get ahead, and it led to a complete game. Now, I'm not saying Jacob Mizorowski's about to throw a complete game tomorrow, but the Phillies, they swing at the first pitch literally a third of the time, 1 point above league average, okay? The Phillies like to swing early. The Rockies are number one in baseball at the most first pitch swings. 41% of the time, and we've seen that this series, they are swinging, ambushing, as we call it in the big leagues. I see this as one of two ways. Either Miz is going to be at like 55 pitches through six innings, and they're going to be like, hey, well, this worked out for us. You get to sit down. Or he's going to be going a lot longer, and he's getting a lot of strikeouts, whatever it may be. This could be, if things are working and the Rockies can't catch up to the velo because he's already facing them at Coors Field, they're going to see a different version of Miz today, not at altitude. I am excited to see what – I think this is a great matchup, you know, when you look at the scouting report, in Miz's favor because he's going to use the Rockies' aggression against them.
Yeah, no, but I was – about the same thing too, that this team has seen Miz, but he was pretty dominant out in Denver. He had one of his rare multi-walk games where he had the three walks in that one, but seven strong innings, no earned runs allowed in that one, and he went 98 pitches during that time as well. So this is the fun stuff too, because it's not so much when you look and say, this team hasn't faced Miz yet, just wait. Well, now they have, and this is a very good hitting ball club, as you pointed out. So now I'm gonna be anxious to see how Miz does second time round against them. What the Brewers' game plan is going to be for him, and how he executes that, because this is like comparing to getting into playoff series. Now, if you face, you know, more than once, you got to get back out there and finish it out and get that second opportunity, and he's going to get that tomorrow.
Yeah, since he had the walks, the big blip against the Cubs, but he still got through six strong against Chicago, and that start. He walked four in that game. Since that game, over his last 16 innings, just one walk allowed. And I think the Rockies are going to be certainly a team that's going to be up there swinging. And I think Jacob Mizorowski is must-see TV or listen on radio or here in person. So we hope we have the crowd out here that we are hoping for, as the Brewers will look for the series win. They will look to move to 27 games above 500. And just, Craig, just thoughts on the chance to be 7-2 on this long three-series homestand coming out of the second half where, look, this team was really running on empty in that series in Pittsburgh, and we're all worried, and we're all like, oh, gosh. And to come back out with a 7-2 and three straight series wins, we're not getting ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about it hopefully tomorrow, that the Brewers immediately calmed the waters after that tough finish in the first half.
Yeah, that was a tough finish. And, you know, this club, look, they're, to me, you get the shaft when you go on these 9 or 10 game road trips before the All-Star break. You do, because you're literally not playing a home game for 14 or 15 days when you add the All-Star break into it. And guess what? They're getting the shaft next year, too, because it's going to be the same situation. But just like this year, next year they also open up with a nice long homestand. So you take advantage of some All-Star time off, maybe here in the city, wherever they were. You know, like Miz even saying, going tomorrow, he said when he came back after the All-Star break, maybe he picked a ball up once and that was it. And he didn't do anything with it. So he took advantage of the break. I think the team did too. They probably had some great advice from, you know, their medical and strength staff. You know, guys, we're at the point, you know, this is who you are now, and take a break and come out and do strong here. I mean, this is an opportunity to go 7-2 on a 9-game homestand. Is really significant no matter what time of year it is. But midway through like this after they finish the All-Star break would be really impressive.
I agree entirely. We'll be talking about it with you tomorrow. Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. Appreciate you as always, my friend, and bring a W with you tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk tomorrow, Dom.
All right, buy or sell about the Brewers in this stretch to what does it mean? I'm buying it. I'm still buying stock, and we can talk about trade deadline stuff, all that. That can be really safe for next week. But buy or sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. We're going to hear from Robert Gasser coming up on the other side of the break, address some of these chats and texts as well. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Brewers get the victory. A couple of texts, a couple of thoughts. As the Brewers 8-5 today. This one, with the unknown next year, do the Brewers trade some infield depth and maybe Frelick, gasp, to get more pitching like Mason Miller, Emerson Hancock via trade? Though to me, Fisher, Madej, Adam Shefsky are untouchable. Well, if you're going to make an omelet, you gotta crack a couple eggs. And here's how I look at the trade deadline right now. Regardless of what happens with Tarek Skubal, because a reminder, the ball is in the Tigers' court right now. The Brewers are not going to make a deal for Tarek Skubal now, this close to the deadline. If they're going to make a deal for Skubal, you know, it would have been probably a month ago when they were really at their low. And granted, Skubal was coming back from injury, so you didn't know what you were going to get. Everybody, that really threw a wrench into everything. But a reminder, Detroit lost today, but they've still been playing better as of late. They had a really easy part of their schedule. Detroit still feels like they're in it. They are mathematically in it. Are they a good enough team to get in? Trading Tarek Skubal decides your fate, right? And they're not going to do that until the very last possible moment. And the reason I bring up the prospects and all this stuff, you can't have it both ways, right? Front offices are too smart, too good now to understand what they're trying to get and what the value is and the money value and all that fun stuff and everything. It's not so much about, is this person a top 100 prospect? It's about, does this person fit my system? And I think the Brewers have the prospects to do something where it could be a top-of-the-line starter. I do think, though, they have always been the organization, this is forever, that they don't make a move for the sake of making a move. Meaning, if they get some depth, it's useful. They build their depth in the offseason. Meaning, there's very rarely, has there been a trade deadline in the last 6 years, at least since I've been in the market, that there has been a glaring need that the Brewers can absolutely acquire. That's like attainable. You know what I'm saying? Where you could say in 2021 they needed offense, but there wasn't a lot of offense available around the league. You could say in 2024 they needed a bullpen arm, and in 2025 especially they needed a bullpen arm, but then both the trades they made got hurt or underperformed. So they've learned about if they're going to take a swing, they got to be careful with it. We're going to have to wait, man. I just think that no one's untouchable aside from Madej, in my opinion, personally. I that's how I'm reading the situation. No one's untouchable, including Andrew Fisher, who hit his 31st homer of the minor league season today. And if you're wondering, whoa, why, he's got 31 homers, why is he up? Because he's also striking out 34% of the time. If you're striking out that much in the minor leagues, there's always concern that you're going to be striking out more in the major leagues. And you're going to be facing better pitchers, so that home run number is going to go down as well. The Brewers get the victory behind a quality start from Robert Gasser. He caught up with Josh Maurer after today's postgame show.
Robert Gasser is the one who did that. Six innings, no walks, four punchouts, and another win. He leads the Brewers to an 8-5 victory over Colorado to even this series at one apiece. Setting up a rubber match tomorrow afternoon with Jacob Mizorowski getting the ball. And as we start the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel postgame show, Robert's on with us downstairs. We're making a habit out of this homestand. I like it. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, guys. I appreciate it.
How'd you feel tonight? What was the stuff feeling like when it was coming out of your hand?
Solid. You know, honestly, today getting the changeup over early was crucial. I feel like it helped propel me throughout the rest of the outing, so I was really happy to have that changeup in there.
In the fourth inning, you gave up two of the more unlucky runs that you'll ever see somebody have to give up. There was a bloop hit, kind of a weird ground ball double, and then a broken bat two-run single. That could kind of derail some outings, but you made it the other way. You just kind of seemed to lock in and finished even better than ever for the rest of your outing. Can you tell us, Robert, what kind of intestinal fortitude that takes when an inning starts that way, but you have to just kind of buckle down and limit the damage?
Yeah, honestly, going into it, before that inning, I was telling myself, like, this is a very important inning. You know, two through four, those guys are really good. And sadly, I was on the wrong side of, those three hits. But being able to, just hunker down and, you know, lock back in and get back in the zone, you know, two quick outs and then the third one. So, yeah.
And then your offense certainly picked you up as they scored the next six runs unanswered. You're getting some length now, too. You get through six innings today on just 77 pitches. I know that's something that every starting pitcher takes pride in. What does that mean for you personally when you're able to go six and do it pretty economically the way that you have a lot over the last month or so?
Yeah, coming into the game, I knew this team was going to be very aggressive as I was able to watch Drew yesterday. So I think, just committing to throwing good pitches early and, just trying to induce contact. You know, it's not all about strikeouts. Like you said, six innings is more important than, you know, 8 to 10 Ks. So getting that six and then, you know, hopefully next time it's seven and, you know, keep going from there.
Robert Gasser is with us here. Let me finish with this question or maybe just more of a comment. The Brewers are 6-1 the last seven games that you've started. You didn't get the win every time, but the team is winning just about every time that you've had the ball for the last couple of months. What does that tell you about the job that you've been doing when you hear that kind of stat?
It's awesome. You know, you want to be a part of a winning game and a winning team. I take pride every day, every game that I have, and I'm able to, you know, be the first one in that high five line when those guys come in. You know, I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me. And honestly, I look back to, you know, coming in from last year after TJ, you know, I think my first five games that I pitched in, we all lost. We lost every game. And I was, you know, that hurt me. So it's good to be on the winning side of it now.
Yeah, and I think always, you know, for whatever it's worth, the measure of the job that you're doing as a starting pitcher, does the team win when you pitch? And boy, have they done that with you recently, Robert. Congratulations on another great outing here tonight. We really appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me again.
All right, Robert Gasser earned the W today, and the Brewers are riding high right now. We'll hear from Murph, and we'll get to some highlights a little bit later on here on Brewers Extra Innings on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Breaking news, not doing with the Brewers, but we got a trade. The stove is on. Red Sox are trading Connelly Early to the Nationals in exchange for infielder Curtis Mead. Remember, Paul Tivone came from the Red Sox organization, now in charge of the Nats, making a deal with his old boss, Craig Breslow. All right, so there's a little bit of news. Brewers went 8-5. The manager, Pat Murphy.
Yeah, they were great. It feels good to have those young guys start to feel more that they belong. You know, they're both, how old is Pratt? 21?
Old 21.
Both 21 years old. Now, how many 21-year-olds are there in the big leagues? You can count them on two hands, right?
Seven
position players, and we've got two and a half of them, right? Churio's 21, but let's just call him 21. What is he, 22? And then he just bought this fancy car, so let's put him back a year to 21. It's a bad decision, right? I mean, so let's go 21. We got three 21-year-olds. It's great to have him be part of it. You know what I mean? It's great to see Jake Bowers come back have three really quality at bats. That part is part's fun, and Yelly's continued to have some hard contacts every game. Produce. Terang continues. Yeah. Our pitching, you got to give Gasser. Gasser did the job. Team is hot and playing with a freedom. They've got good, hungry young players. And, you look at their results against some of the better teams, they've done fine. And Gasser gave us six, and Patrick gave us a good inning. And sorry we had to bring McGill in to close, but that's part of winning games in the big leagues. Things happen. All you can do is respond.
What did you see from Gasser in that fourth? First three guys get on, two runs score, and gets out of that inning.
Yeah, there wasn't a hard contact in there. You know what I mean? It's a scratch hit to center that falls in, and then perfectly placed. Then a ground ball right down the line, not hit well, and then another fisted ball in the center field, and they got two runs in a matter of a second. But then I thought he really did a great job of settling down and pitching, and then he came out the next two innings and pitched his best. So hats off to Gasser. I thought he did a great job and really was the hero of the game. Again, Lara and Pratt had great games, and Bowers, like I said, but you got to give it to Gasser.
Any of those at-bats from Pratt or Lara stand out?
Lara's backside base hit, Lara's walk in the last inning, it ended up scoring. His sack fly, the sack fly was a great at bat. Two strikes. Early in the game to give us our first run. So that was huge.
Remember, it's time you go up to him after that one, going through the dugout there. Just kind of what are you trying to instill in him there, and just kind of. A message.
I told him if you don't get that done right there, you'll go back to AAA.
You got to be careful with that. He's 21. He probably will leave you.
I was serious. No, I just told him. I said, that's what you're capable of. You are a good player and you do belong here. I don't know if he understood me or not, but my intent was there, and I think he sensed that intent. It comes to a point where you have to have that belief you belong. And then the age doesn't matter. Remember when Cherio, in the first year when he started to realize he belonged? That was a whole different story. And then remember him in the postseason that year? It was like, wow. So hopefully Lara continues to build belief in himself.
Or beyond just the hits that he's had recently, is there anything that stands out to you about takes that he's had and things that he doesn't swing at?
Yeah, you're seeing it like I'm seeing it. He's not chasing a bunch. He chased yesterday once, the ball down, that 3-2 changeup or whatever it was, or maybe it was first pitch changeup, whatever. He chased a little bit down, a split, I think. He's never seen this type of pitching, but, hats off to the kid. I think he's got really good strike ball, and and he's playing good defense, and he's had maybe one bump in the road there, and everything else, he's been pretty flawless. So him and Pratt too, pretty good day today.
Very good day for the 21-year-olds this evening. So let's relive it with some highlights coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
The kids were stars tonight. Robert Gasser getting the ball for the Brewers. He was the elder statesman compared to the guys that were filling up the box score today. Up against the righty, Ryan Feltner of the Rockies. They would open the scoring with a little rally in the second. A leadoff walk from Bowers. He steals second. Gets the third on a productive out from Garrett Mitchell. And Lara just missed it on a great at-bat. Still drove in a run.
He's at his lighters 2-2 to Lara. Fly ball down the right field line. It is going to be caught on the warning track. Tagging and scoring is Bowers, and the Brewers have a 1-0 lead. A sacrifice fly for Luis Lara.
He was behind 0-2, worked at the 2-2, and ultimately flied out, but drove in the first run of the game. One pitch later. Loud noises.
Opening pitch to Pratt. Fly ball to left. That is back. It is gone. his second home run of the week. 96 coming in, 102 coming out, hit it 409 feet. 2-0 Brewers.
How about it for Cooper Pratt? He was a no doubter. However, the Rockies would respond with some batted ball luck. Three straight hits in the fourth, scored two, but then Gasser, kudos to him, buckled down from there, got the next three in order. The Brewers responded with another run and another one from the young kids.
The 0-1. And a ground ball right side off the glove of the second baseman Castro. It trickles into right field around third. And scoring is Bowers. On his way to third is Lara. Cooper Pratt drives in his second of the night, and the Brewers take a 3-2 lead.
How about it? And then they would never look back from there. Gasser would complete six innings with no walks and four strikeouts. And then in the bottom of the sixth inning, the Brewers would chase the righty Feltner with back-to-back singles, one from Contreras, one from Bowers. A four-pitch walk to Garrett Mitchell had the bases loaded for Lara.
2-1 pitch. Fly ball, shallow left. Sinking down, and it gets by McCarthy. Here comes Bowers. He scores. Lara drives in a pair.
Following that RBI double from Lara, Cooper Pratt would add his third RBI of the game with a sacrifice fly to left field, meaning all six RBIs in the game to this point were scored from the rookies. And then they created some chaos on the bases.
Runner goes. It's high. No throw down to second. Lara draws a throw. It's into left. Lara will get up and score, and Hamilton ends up at third. It will be a stolen base for Hamilton, and then an E2 on Fulford. Ball that was thrown to Caros at third base was too high, went off his glove and into left.
The Brewers would add one more in the eighth inning on a sack fly from Christian Yelich. He went 1-for-4 in today's contest. Lance McCullers Jr. was trying to close out this game. It did not go well. He walked four batters in his two innings of work, allowed an RBI single to Jake McCarthy. He was lifted for Trevor McGill, who got the one-out save.
Here's the 2-2. Struck him out swinging with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and McGill turns out the lights on the Rockies. Wasn't easy, but the Brewers come away with an 8-5 victory, and they even up the series at a game apiece.
Brewers get the dub. They can win the series tomorrow. So, it'll be Jacob Mizorowski on the mound for the Crew. The right-hander going up against the longtime Colorado Rocky. The all-time leader in innings pitched for the franchise, and Kyle Freeland. Hopefully nobody steps on his mound, if you didn't see that clip. No, it was not quite a Dallas Braden level of egregious. You know, Alex, if you don't know what I'm talking about here, by the way, you need to educate yourself here. Alex Rodriguez ran over the mound on like a foul ball down the line when he was running on the pitch. So he's going from third back to first, and he ran over the top of the mound. Big no-no. Unwritten rules. Dallas Braden chewed him out. And this is also like peak everybody hated A-Rod, you know, in the like 2011 or 2010-ish time. You know, he was coming back from his second PED suspension and all that. And just the other day, I even forget who it was for the Nationals who barely clipped 1 foot on the dirt of the mound as he was walking back to the dugout, and Kyle Freeland popped a gas. Like, get off my mound! Get out! I'm like, whoa, okay, just take it easy, man. So that is tomorrow's pitching matchup. The lefty Freeland, he is 2-9 with a 7.28 ERA for the local Denver kid, up against Miz 10-4, a 1.57 ERA. Leads baseball in strikeouts, the 173 of them. I mean, this will be his last start of July, but he will be at 200 strikeouts most definitely almost, by the end of August. I mean, we're talking maybe 250 Ks by the end of his season, which would be very fun to talk about. We're on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up, getting you ready till the bottom of the hour at 12:35. It'll be the on-deck show built by Menards, and then the game, and I'll be with you after the game as well for Brewers Extra Innings post-game one more time. All the games are final. No West Coast games, at least no West Coast night games today. The Giants, the next opponent for the Brewers, they are white hot, despite being 16 games under 500. They win 9-2 over the Angels, who are also on this next road trip for the Brewers. Rafi Devers, he has been hot. He hit a couple of hits today, including a three-run homer. Also today, we mentioned the Cubs bludgeoning Paul Skeens and the Pirates 11-0 today in Pittsburgh. So the Brewers don't gain any ground. They're still six games up in the division. The Marlins have lost 11 in a row. This goes back to before the first half, too. So they lose 7-2 to the Padres, who just won't die. They're one game under 500, and they're still technically in the hunt for the wild card. And we mentioned the Orioles defeating the Braves, which helps out the Brewers in the race for the 2 seed, 3-2. All right, that is a postgame show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know I didn't get to everybody on this postgame show today on some comments, but we'll try to get to more of them tomorrow. For my producer, Matt Yazel, I'm Dominic Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.